You don't really believe in all that fairy tale BS, right? He was the lead singer of the headlining band. We were the new little and local opening band. We stood in a group outside our van chatting. You guys need to have some fun and quit worrying about some imaginary god striking you with lightning. You need to live. He inhaled deeply on his joint, raised his eyebrows like we were missing out, and walked away. That scene floated in my head later that night as I lay in my bed, thinking, were we always going to be playing the local bar scene with bands who could care less about our souls? I wondered how we would be able to keep up with our faith going into such crazy places. Our guitarist, Jared, was only 15 years old. I thought about some of our recent shows, the sexual advances, the offers for drugs and parties, the hostility and mocking about us being Christians. I realized we needed some kind of a band pastor. But I had never heard of such a thing. Where do you find a band pastor? I was about to drift off to sleep when the name Eric Patrick scrolled across my brain. Who is Eric Patrick? From the time I was 10 until I was 16 years old, I was an outspoken atheist who hated Christians. In my first book, The Reason, I talked about this time in my life and how God rescued me from suicide at age 16 through a miraculous series of events. Not long after that encounter I had with God, one of the Christians I used to make fun of at school found out about my change of heart. Scott was the one cool Christian in junior high. He loved punk rock, skateboarding, and multicolored facial hair. As a 14-year-old know-it-all, loud-mouthed atheist, the only reason I didn't write Scott off completely, like I did every other Christian, was because he didn't back down when I questioned his strange, persistent love for Jesus. He wasn't afraid of all of us making fun of his faith and his sobriety. He almost seemed to enjoy it sometimes. He did his fair share of making logical fun of our drunkenness and stupidity as well. So we respected him for that. When I returned to Texas from Mississippi as a Christian, Scott showed up at my mom's house unannounced. I opened the door to his familiar green hair and broad, crooked smirk. "So I hear you love Jesus now," he boasted like he had won a bet. Not even a hello. I cracked up. Okay, you won. I'm one of you weirdos now," I answered. "So do you want to go to church with me then?" he pressed. My heart leapt. I hadn't been to church since I came to visit my mom for the summer. We jumped in his orange VW Beetle and drove into a ghetto neighborhood within Arlington, Texas. The sign in front of the building read, "Door of Hope Church." The sign looked lame. So did the church, honestly. It looked like some place you'd worry about the fray on the bottom of your jeans being offensive, and hope your shoes didn't squeak. I looked at my green-haired friend and relaxed a little, realizing that if they were going to judge me here, at least they were going to judge Scotty too. We walked down a little hallway and turned into a tiny room where there were two other people about our age talking in a circle with a slightly older guy who was wearing an acoustic guitar and had long brown hair parted down the middle and tucked behind his ears. His jeans were baggy and frayed at the bottom, like mine. His Doc Marten boots looked fitting for a grungy college kid. "This is Eric," said Scotty. "He's the youth pastor." Eric, the youth pastor.